Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pooja! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
It's Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Michelob Ultra getting a double there. Matt, how are you? Are you enjoying the playoffs? We've got got some Bulls stuff to talk about today, too. More specifically on Thaddeus Young's appearance on Road Trippin'. But first, how are you? And are you sad to see Tibbs out now?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? A little bit. But it felt unnatural, kind of like half pulling for the Knicks. Just because, you know, growing up as a kid in the 90s, the Knicks were one of those teams that you were just taught to hate. You know, before that, it was the Pistons. I'm a little too young for the Pistons rivalry. But the Knicks, man, Ewing, Starks, Mason, Oakley, it's awesome to see Tibbs and D. Rose and Taj still doing meaningful things in the NBA. And it's unfortunate that they're the Knicks' first playoff relevance in a long time was short-lived. But I'm also kind of relieved because it would have just felt weirder and weirder and less comfortable pulling for the Knicks with half my heart the further they went. So kudos to Trae Young, dude. One of my favorite parts of last night's action was him and Reggie just like taking turns jawing at the Knicks because he did the Reggie bow like late in that game in the Garden. He does the Reggie bow to be like, hey, peace out, y'all. Thanks for coming.
God, if that isn't the biggest F you. Like, all right, see, you guys want to spit at me? I got the last laugh, and guess what? I'm gonna be slightly disrespectful by taking a absolutely monstrous three when the game was over. Like, to me, that, I don't even, like, what would happen if, like, during the Heat run, where it was Bulls and Heat constantly, that was our rival, like, about 10 years ago. What if LeBron just stepped up at the Bulls logo after a series was over and just launched a three and drained it? Joakim Noah, is he throwing hands? Like,
oh yeah. Oh, you know that would have ticked Joe off to it. I mean, Joe and LeBron hated each other.
Naz Muhammad back from when pushing LeBron down.
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, isn't that great? Like the rivalry thing. This like Hawks Knicks kind of popped up out of nowhere, and Knicks fans all just deciding that like Trae Young is the enemy. And obviously, we already talked last week about the vilest part of that, which is a fan spitting on Trae Young. Like, nobody should be doing that kind of Bush League shit. That's so disrespectful. But just like experiencing NBA rivalries, because I feel like we haven't really had any really good ones in recent seasons. And certainly the Bulls don't really have any right now. It's just fun to watch that kind of stuff go down. And, you know, kudos to Rose and Taj and Tibbs for being a four seed, bring that team. I mean, who expected the Knicks to be the four seed? Is it disappointing that they couldn't get past the first round? Maybe a little bit. All those Tibbs haters, I can hear them now. Like, oh, Tibbs, regular season coach, can't win in the playoffs, whatever. Nobody expected the Knicks to be the four seed. That in itself is an accomplishment.
I saw that there was a record out there for Tibbs is when he has home court advantage in a playoff series, that he has some absurd record. It's really bad. Like, he hasn't been able to get out of a game. So it's like, Tibbs just needs to stop winning game one when they have home court, and maybe some of that will be resolved.
Just do the LeBron strategy. Lose game one. Lose every game one, and then you come back and you win the series. That clearly has worked for LeBron for a near 20-year career.
Seriously. I'm trying to think, too. I was trying to think of this because I do like the rivalry part of it. That's part of the reason why I think people are so passionate outside of, like, Rose winning the MVP and that team being great. But, like, that's one example that I can connect to with the Heat and just the rivalry between those two teams and how everybody made it must-watch TV. You were always paying attention anytime those two teams played and squared off. It felt like the NBA has sort of gone away from that over the last, I don't know, 5 or 8 years. And does that more so go to because there were so many dominant teams stacking players on one team? It was like Golden State, basically everybody else. More parity in the NBA, maybe?
A little bit, but I also think it has to do with players and their longevity with one franchise and a group of players and their longevity with one franchise. Because in the last couple of weeks, what we've seen is not teams that hate each other, but fan bases that hate a player. Like, why do Knicks fans hate Trae Young so much? Or Celtics fans hating on Kyrie Irving? Because clearly the Kyrie-Boston experience did not go well for Kyrie or for Celtics fans. So because these players are just hopping all over the place, especially superstar players, there's really no way that rivalries can really grasp onto anything of, oh, like, here we go again. We're playing this same team in this playoffs. We just played them last year. I mean, like, there was a little bit of that with Milwaukee-Miami this year because, you know, Milwaukee was upset by Miami last season and nobody really saw that coming.
Right.
So that's like a new budding rivalry, I guess you could say. But it's not the Bulls being like, are you freaking kidding me? We got to play against Isaiah and the Pistons for the fourth straight year in a row. It was the same group of players playing against the same group of players. In today's NBA, that does not exist.
Yeah, that history isn't there. And, like, I was trying to think as, like, who's the modern day rival for the Bulls? And the team that I came up with, at least with, like, the back and forths and some weird stuff happening, is the Hawks. Like, remember Chris Dunn getting tossed out of the game after him and Trae Young going back and forth? Like, the six overtime game two in, what was that, year one or year two of the rebuild? God. All of that.
And now he's on the Hawks. God, I love that so much.
It's crazy, but like,
that's just racking up DNPs. Way to go, Chris Dunn.
It's the only team I can think of that would be a semi-rival, but they don't even think of us at that point as that because we didn't make the playoffs. Their rivalry seems to be stirring up pretty good with the Knicks. The team that we've sort of beaten up on is the Hornets. And I don't know if they consider that a new age rivalry. Maybe that'll be something I look at. But any of those teams, like where the Bulls are trying to transition from this rebuild to being a winning team, we should look at. But they don't really have one right now.
No, I mean, the last true rivalry that the Bulls have had, in my opinion, is against a player. And that player is LeBron James.
True.
And whether it was Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland again, the Bulls faced those LeBron-led teams and battled those LeBron-led teams a lot. And like even in the first Cleveland stint, you know, before he left, the Bulls and Cavs had a first-round playoff series. You had that thing with Joakim jawing at LeBron when LeBron was goofing off at the free throw line and them getting at each other. And like that was the early, early days of Rose and Joakim. And then the Heatles and Hollywood as hell and multiple playoff series between the Bulls and that Heat team. And then LeBron going back to Cleveland and D Rose is shot in game three. LeBron's game winner in game four. The Bulls' last real rivalry was Cavs, Heat, Cavs, LeBron. And haven't had one in the last several years of rebuilding. You can't have a rival if you're rebuilding and a bad team that's 10 games under 500.
You're right. The target was LeBron. A lot of teams felt like that, but it was like we were the Raptors before the Raptors were the Raptors. We were the team that couldn't get past LeBron, and every team couldn't get past LeBron for a while. But Yeah, it's crazy. It's not like that anymore. And I don't know if KD stays in the East for maybe three or five more years, that could potentially be something. But the Bulls got to be good. And like, there's got to be games where the Bulls are supposed to win games and something happens for that to flare up. The other one I'm thinking of too, and I don't know how I forgot this, I'm looking at Joakim making the dunk, but the Celtics, them and the Celtics had very, very good rivalry before sort of the LeBron going to the Heat happened.
True. And, you know, that Celtics team with all that star power on it, they and the Bulls, in addition to that 2009 playoff series, had, even in the regular season, some heavy hitting, you know, contests, some knockout kind of bouts. And that's two iconic franchises going at it, too. I mean, it goes back to like rekindling a rivalry of MJ versus Bird and that kind of stuff. So, the bare bones are, if your team ain't worth watching, I don't think they get a rivalry because nobody's really that jazzed up about, oh, I really want to beat that team, whether it's the players or the fan base. The fan base feels like up until a year ago, this team's greatest rival was its own management. Like that, there is no team among the other 29 NBA teams that this fan base hated more than its own managerial staff. And that should tell you something.
100%. This was probably suited for a different episode at some point, but Trae Young is getting the Steph Curry effect completely right now. Everybody loves him, except for people in New York, of course, but everybody loves him. It's going to turn, and it's going to turn quick, depending on how successful they are in the second round and beyond. But if it doesn't turn this year, it's going to start turning next year, where people are just going to be after him now because he's showing he was one of the best players in that draft and potentially one of the best young players up and coming in this East for a long time. So I feel that, though. Like, the Steph Curry love and effect is happening with him.
Still, give me Luka 10 times out of 10. Like,
oh, he just picked apart Rondo last night.
Trey's a great player, but my God, dude, Luka last night, 30 scored or assisted on 31 of their 37 field goals.
That is just dumb. Like, how do you
It's ridiculous. Can somebody please help Luka, for the love of God? All right, Jordan, we've got some Bulls topics to get to. We wanted to talk a little bit more about that Thad Young interview we touched on yesterday. First, though, wanted to let everybody know today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everyone and always reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everyone and does not require membership or account login. Rock Auto's got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, so we touched on this a little bit on yesterday's episode, but want to hear a little bit more from Thaddeus Young. He was on the Road Trippin' podcast. Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson are the two former players on it, and it's on LeBron's network, Uninterrupted. Fantastic stuff from Thad Young, but I feel like we should start with the light stuff. He was asked about what it felt like to be right in contention for a potential play-in spots, and then things kind of unraveling. So let's take a listen.
Thad, what's going on in your world right now? You guys were two games out of the play-in game.
Okay.
It's a big deal now.
At one point in time, they were out. Did you guys get as high as, what, sixth? With maybe like 25 games to go?
Yeah, I think we were like six or whatever. But, I mean, we all still had terrible records at that time.
Down the stretch, were you guys, you were still playing for and hoping for that opportunity, right?
Yeah, I mean, down the stretch. But, you know, when you you take everything out of your hands when, you know, you don't win games. I think that was the toughest part. Like, we had the pieces and we had the team that can actually go out there and win. It's just a matter of just, you know, us, you know, gelling together. But, you know, no excuses. You know, we didn't do what we were supposed to do. You know, so it is what it is. We're sitting
there. This ain't that type of podcast. We don't care about the political.
Here's an honest question. How are you? A compliment also.
We'll get to his question in a second. Because, man, like, I'm only halfway through it listening to this, and it's fantastic. Something we're not even going to touch on, the Nate McMillan story they tell in the middle of there gave me very, very bad flashbacks of Jim Boylan. There's a reason if you continue to listen throughout the podcast. But I thought that was pretty funny, man. That's the reaction you had pretty much throughout the last 3 or 4 weeks of this season. It's like, yeah, who cares? Who cares about it? And I get vet players want to take their vacation. You're not going anywhere throughout the play-in, but I would have liked to see it. It's funny, though, to hear them that they don't really give a shit about it.
Yeah, man. I mean, kudos to Thad for keeping it real. Like, that is about the answer you would expect from a vet being honest about this whole play-in thing. And yeah, good on him for also saying, like, yeah, we were technically in the sixth seed in the East for, you know, a hot minute there, but we were the sixth seed in the East with a bad record. And yeah, I remember, Jordan, when the Bulls won, like, whatever it was, like, you know, four out of five games or three out of four games or whatever, and they were for, like, a night in the sixth seed. And we had all these people texting our inbox, leaving voicemails. So I'm like, oh, here come the Bulls. Like, Peck, you're such a doubter. And I sat there and said, y'all, this team is not keeping the sixth seed in the East. Not going to happen. And we traded for an all-star, and we still fell all the way to 11th. I mean, come on. Like, if anybody realistically thought that team was good enough to keep the sixth seed in the East, fool themselves. Dad, no fool. Been in the league 14 seasons. He knows good teams and bad teams and how to tell them apart, and he knew that Bulls team did not have enough.
Even what he says is his greatest teammate of all time missing 4 weeks. Like, he even put it on themselves. He's like, there's no excuses, though, which I don't mind at all. I'm glad that they still have that mentality. As a fan, though, it does kind of suck to watch the way that they got beat up at the end and just had some unfortunate luck. But you're right. It is nice for once to just kind of hear them laugh and keep it real about what they would have done even if they made the play-in or if they were one of these first-round teams anyway. I mean, I don't know if I would want to see the Bulls get slaughtered and the little confidence they built up this season just being absolutely destroyed by, like, a Bucks team or something like that. So.
Right. And like, if the Bulls had managed to fight their way in and stay there for the play-in, you know, depending on who they faced, who knows? Because for whatever weird reason, the Bulls, like, had the Celtics number this year, if you recall.
Yes.
Like, the Bulls and Celtics played twice towards the back of the season, and the Bulls won and won convincingly both times. So it was like, if they got matched up with Boston in a play-in, well, maybe the Bulls would have found themselves in the position where, you know, Washington was now, or why am I blanking on who ended up being seven against Brooklyn? So Boston was seven, Washington was eight, right? So
correct.
Are the Bulls beating Philly or even making it a series? Are the Bulls beating Brooklyn or even making it a series? No. So for Thad's sake, I'm happy that he got his vacation a little earlier.
Yeah, that's for sure. I want you to hear what he has to say. It's a lot of what we've heard before, but he gives a specific example of, like, how he's been mentoring Patrick Williams and also what he had to say a little bit about Zach LaVine. And I also want you to hear, too, man, he was getting ragged, but I know that he was former teammates with these guys and are good friends with them, but he was getting ragged. Like, he was getting roasted in the first 15, 20 minutes of this podcast, and they asked him how the hell you're still in the league. So I think it's pretty fascinating to listen to how he's evolved his game, even though we've heard of sort of the media answer to it. I want you to hear that as well. First, though, want to tell our listeners about our friends at BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The baseball season is in full swing. The NBA playoffs are also in full swing. Same thing in the NHL. You can bet on UFC and MMA action as well. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep and continue their playoff runs. Head to their website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Matt, let's hear about the most important thing, and that is the two Bulls players that are the most important to this team and what Thad thinks.
Like, let's stop being humble. Your teammate this year called you the MVP of your team in season 14 because of 2 Channing's point, like what you can bring to the table, all of the little things.
Yeah. I mean, Zach is like a little brother to me. I had him as a rookie in Minnesota. So, you know, we spent a lot of time together just talking and me helping him, like, you know, figure out situations on the court. But this year, I thank Zach for that. But, you know, I just try to go out there and just play, just make sure that I'm doing everything in the locker room to help these young guys, because, you know, like we were just talking about before the podcast started, like, you know, a lot of the young guys, they don't actually know how to play. So they're in the process of learning how to actually play this NBA game, and the ball is just being rolled out and they're going through their bumps and bruises. So I'm like that common force to kind of help them through them bumps and bruises. Like, we had a really good rookie this year. You know, I think he's going to be a stud, Patrick Williams. Yeah. He did a hell of a job this year, but you know, he have games where he gets lost. So like at the end of the season, like I spent a lot of time like molding him and trying to tell him like, look, when Zach and Booch don't play, this is your fucking team. Like you need to go out there and you need to like show. So I'm breaking off plays and shit, running him into the post, like doing all types of shit to get him going, to make sure like he knows like you're the man, or you're going to be the man. You're going to have to hold this franchise down. So like just getting guys to understand where their roles are and how they kind of fit in. Like, I know I'm like, you know, I'm past the prime of my career, but I can still play at a high level. But it's my job to go out there and help these guys along the way, as well as going out there and doing the things I need to do for myself.
Sounds like a very similar conversation we had when the Bulls were struggling, Matt, and when Patrick Williams probably had his lowest point of the season over that 2 or 3 week stretch, like at the back end of March. We said that, like, yeah, Zach's out, and it's either got to be him or Kobe. Somebody's got to step the fuck up, or you're going to miss the playoffs, and sure enough, that's what happened. It's cool that that's actually what was going on there, though, too. It's just, they're young guys. Young guys need a chance to learn, grow, and develop.
Yeah, and I mean, I recall a couple of games, like, you know, a trio of games towards the end when Zach was out, Vooch was sitting, and you still were seeing a very passive Patrick Williams, and you were like, okay, Zach and Vooch are sitting and P-Dub still only took like 6 shots. Like, what the heck? And then the next game was one of P-Dub's best games of the season. And he had, you know, he put up like 20 some points, and he was aggressive, and he was attacking and scoring on all 3 levels. And you were like, this is what we were looking to see, especially when this team's biggest scorers and highest usage players are on the shelf. Is this level of Patrick Williams? Because we know physically he has the tools already as a 19-year-old rookie. So you wonder, gee, do you think there was maybe a conversation between one Thad Young and one Patrick Williams between those 2 games where he looked passive and not looking to be engaged offensively for the umpteenth consecutive game? And then that next game when he went out right out of the gate and looked to get involved, you got to assume that was one of many conversations, and maybe it was even Thad with a little bit of tough love, be like, hey man, like just like he was describing in his podcast appearance, hey dude, this is your team. If Zach's out, if Vooch is out, we're all lining up behind you because you're the most talented dude we got right now.
It's funny you say that, because he even referenced like his first couple of years, like having to play for, like he mentions Mo Cheeks and playing for Mo Cheeks early on and being like sort of disgruntled and having to come off the bench and do some of these other things that he didn't really want to do as a young player at the time. I think that's, first of all, I didn't know that he played for Mo Cheeks at one point in his career early on.
Dude, that's 85. He's played for every single coach and every single assistant coach in the league at this point.
But now you see like all of these little connections that are being formed, that have been formed previously, are coming here, and that's what you need to actually, like, as much as we talked about the core in the first 3 years, like that's what you really need to build lay the foundation for an actual core. You're right though about Patrick Williams, man, and I wonder if it was even a case of like, he was so timid about wanting to just fit in and play his role and his role to a T, he didn't realize that when Vooch and Zach went out, that it's like, oh fuck, wait, that is my role. My role is to go out there and score and shoot 20 times a game until those guys come back.
Right.
I would say the same thing about Kobe though, too, man. Like, that was something that I think Mo Cheeks gave him tough love. So I think to your point, like both of them mentoring different players, but bringing across the same message to 2 young players.
And, you know, who knows what this roster will look like next season. We anticipate there's going to be a significant number of departures from this past season's roster, and some new arrivals. Thad may or may not be here. I'm leaning towards thinking he's coming back for that final year. That's a partial guarantee. But when you talk about what Patrick Williams' role is going to be next season, that role is undoubtedly going to be starter. So depending on what the Bulls do with their other pieces, he played a lot at the small forward position this past season, just based on what the Bulls had at their disposal. Will we see him shift more and play more at the power forward position next season? Depends on if the Bulls go out and find themselves a wing, or maybe they want to see what Troy Brown Jr. can do at that spot, potentially as a starter next season. We'll see. But regardless, you have to assume that if Pete Ub puts some work into his game this offseason, he will feel more ready on a nightly basis to contribute and be more involved than he was as a rookie, because that was the tease that we saw. Look at the physical tools. Why doesn't he use them more often? But again, it's like, okay, well, when Bulls fans are like, why does Patrick Williams only have 5 shots tonight? And you're like, because Zach LaVine and Vooch each had 20 plus and each put up 30-point games? Like, right. Look at the context. And Zach and Vooch both certainly assume right now to be parts of this team next season. So what other opportunities can Pete Up take that aren't necessarily, all right, well, I'm taking shots away from Zach or Vooch, our 2 all-stars?
And see, that was weird about this year, too. I was thinking about it more and more as, like, as fans, we were sort of trained for the last 3 years to just specifically watch development and why aren't specific guys getting their opportunity to learn and do that. And that's not really what the Bulls were trying to do this year. They were, but they were not. They were also trying to be competitive and win games. And when you want to be competitive, especially in the second half, you want Vooch and Zach to take those shots. You don't want Patrick Williams shooting 15 shots and try to figure it out when you're trying to win close games and you're in a playoff race. So I think your point is really, it's well made, saying that. And like, Bulls fans have to realize that too. You have to remember the fact that they were trying to win games, not necessarily develop Patrick Williams offensive game in the second half there. I think it's all good stuff though, man. I'm with you. I think more and more I'm being convinced that Thaddeus Young is going to stay, and I think it only benefits the Bulls. I don't think there's anybody else out there unless you go get a superstar to replace what Thaddeus Young can do for this team specifically.
Yeah. If Thad sticks around, I'm guessing you're going to see some instances where Thad and Pete Up are on the court at the same time, because Thad's playing the 4 and Pete Up's playing the 3. But you could also see some instances where, you know, maybe Pete Up on certain nights, depending on who the Bulls are playing against and what the Bulls have as far as their availability of other players, you might see Pete Up starting at the 4 and Thad coming in and, you know, and playing behind Pete Up essentially. And in those instances, you can imagine the timeout conversations and the on the court, okay, somebody shooting a free throw, let me drag Pete up over here and whisper in his ear real quick. Those kind of teaching moments that you already saw Thad Young start to do this past season with Pete up, we've heard since training camp that Thad and other veteran teammates have said about Patrick Williams, when it comes to learning the game at the NBA level, this kid is a sponge. He asks a lot of questions. He absorbs as much information as he can. And between that and working on his actual game and growing out his what he could do with the ball physically and being more confident in that arena, I don't, you know, and maybe I'm fooling myself, but I don't think I am. I think that there is a much greater chance we see a big jump in Pete Up's development compared to Bulls draft picks, lottery picks of years past and past and past, 19, 18, 17.
I'm going to knock on wood right now, but I do agree with you. I think we're not going to see the sophomore slump we saw in Lowry. And again, that was injuries. I don't think you're going to see the sophomore slump like we saw in Wendell. Again, that was injuries. Kobe struggled a little bit, but I think he was the first glimpse in, hey, like, changes were made, Kobe struggled, but he came out on the other side and a better player at the end of the season because of it. As much as criticism as we laid on him this season, and same thing with Bulls fans, I think that's a really, really good point. I'm very excited for what he's going to be, man. And I just continue to want to hear players across the NBA continue to talk about Patrick Williams. And I'm sure we'll get more stuff as the offseason goes. I want to save, let's save that Thaddeus Young, that last clip from Thaddeus Young. Maybe we'll play it on tomorrow's episode. But if you don't, if you have a chance, go listen to it. Road Tripping. He was on there for an hour and a half, almost an hour and a half. So I'm only halfway through it, and I'm really, really enjoying it. It's cool to hear all these Bulls players talking. And maybe we'll get a couple more glimpses of Zach LaVine this summer. Maybe Zach LaVine will hop on some podcasts or some shows. We get a little bit more glimpse into what year one was.
That would be awesome. What I know I'm looking forward to this summer is stalking Zach LaVine's Instagram page, because he's way more active on Instagram than he is on Twitter.
Yes.
But seeing videos of his summer workouts and hoping, crossing my fingers and praying like crazy, that we're going to get all these amazing videos from Zach's Instagram of him, P-Dub, and Kobe training at Zach's house on the West Coast this summer. Because I'm going to eat that shit up.
Dude, I wonder why Zach doesn't use Twitter as much. I do remember early on, maybe his I think this was after his first year, we put out a Twitter poll on Locked On, and it was like, in 3 years or in 4 years, who's going to become the better player, Devin Booker or Zach LaVine? And overnight, he retweeted it, and obviously tipping the scales a little bit to his fans. And then when it popped in the morning, you see it unretweeted, but obviously... receipts, right. You can see it,
right?
But it's funny.
And hey, Zach's a smart dude. Maybe he's not really active on Twitter because he knows that Twitter is a cesspool filled with terrible people. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse that you and I and people who are NBA junkies are on Twitter all day, every day. And some days I hate it, and some days I love it. Zach, like, good for him for not needing that distraction in his life.
It's cool. People can actually see what Zach's doing on Instagram as opposed to Twitter. You're subjected to 280 characters or 2 minutes of video. So at least
right. He
can show people. And he's been doing that since the first day he got here, even rehabbing his ACL, man. So we talked about that the very first summer he was here. But with that, if you guys have questions, reaction, maybe you've got free agency stuff. You want to talk a little bit about the draft, what the Bulls are going to do with their second round pick, any trade hypotheticals, strategy for what the Bulls should do this offseason. We want to hear all your thoughts. 331-979-1369. Text messages and voicemails there. You can tweet at us at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.